I want to say good evening. Good evening to you all. Once again, happy new year. What a beautiful way to bring in the new year as to having our hearts and minds focused on worshiping the Lord. This morning, as we took an account discussing many of the aspirations and many of the goals that maybe family and friends have as a new year would enter in, we studied a bit out of the book of Hebrews, specifically out of the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. And as we were thinking about what people would do as the year changes, they focused themselves on a new manner of living. They focused themselves on even a better way to conduct themselves. As we studied that there's no better way than to be than in Christ Jesus, how our lives are fundamentally better in Christ. We saw this from the Hebrews writer, writing in Hebrews the 8th chapter, looking at verse number 6, where the Bible would say, "But now he hath," or "hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." Generically speaking, this morning we spoke about better in Christ, but this evening or afternoon we're going to be focused on the covenant and be focused on the promises. I remember in the book of Luke, the first chapter, as that man Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, the, according to the flesh, the uncle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might remember in Luke, the first chapter, where this prophecy of Zechariah would come, and this man Zechariah would be speaking there in Luke, the first chapter, where we would see in verse 67, as the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost, he prophesied saying this: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." As the Bible says in verse 72, "to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, would continue on speaking about that prophet of the highest that would come, that man Christ Jesus. But here in this prophecy, we're familiar with a covenant that he is speaking about. When we go all the way back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, you may remember this very covenant. In Genesis, the 22nd chapter, that man Abraham, taking his only begotten child, Isaac, specifically the child that was born of the promise, the child, according to Genesis, the 17th chapter and verse number 21, the covenant that was made to Abraham pertaining to his seed coming through the promise of Isaac. You see here that Abram would take his only begotten son, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah to worship, as God was requesting a sacrifice. Abraham would take his only begotten son to offer him as a sacrifice. We see that according to this faith that Abraham had, that even as he did not yet put his hand to Isaac to be able to slay and offer him up, he understood the promises of God. He understood the verity of God. He understood the agreement that God had given to him, that even if he did offer up his only begotten son, God was able to raise him from the dead. But we see all the way back in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, where because of Abraham's faith, we see according to verse 16 or 15, as the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, he said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, you have not withheld thy son, thy only son." What beautiful imagery that we get even with God and his love towards us, that he did not behold or withhold his only son. But nevertheless, we see here in verse 17, it says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee or thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. We see Zechariah in Luke, the first chapter, specifically at verse 72, familiar with this covenant that was given to Abraham. We're piggybacking off of what we discussed in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, at verse number 6. All things are better in Christ because if we're in Christ, we have a better covenant that is based off of better promises. When we look at the word covenant, it is a Greek word, diatheke. This word would make reference to a last will and a testament. In other words, it would make reference to a compact or a contract. If we get a little bit deeper in some of our lexicons, it would make reference to a covenant together or the making of a covenant. This is very important because when we understand why Zechariah was speaking in this manner, why he was prophesying, it was very important that he was citing what the Lord would give all those years ago to Abraham. We see that we would be able to overcome. We would be able to overcome and withstand the onslaught of our enemies according to the flesh. What beauty we have in Christ Jesus. But Zechariah, understanding the promise that was given to Abraham that would be applied to all of mankind. As we go a little bit deeper in the biblical narrative, we go now to Acts, the third chapter. And in the book of Acts, the third chapter, we would see that this man, Peter, would be speaking. This man, Peter, would be preaching the word of God to his audience, making reference to a covenant in Genesis, the 22nd chapter as well. We see in Acts, the third chapter, as this man, Peter, is preaching that man, Jesus Christ, you might see in Acts, the third chapter, at verse 23, as we fast forward a little bit in his sermonic discourse, he says in verse 23, "It will come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yeah, all the prophets from Samuel to all those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Going back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, I know we're doing a little bit of flipping. We see now in verse number 18 of Genesis 22 that the Bible would say, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Understanding the covenants that were given to Abraham, not only that there will be a blessing in Abraham, not only will the enemies be able to be withstood or be destroyed if or because of this covenant given to Abraham, what blessing we know to understand that come and is fulfilled through Christ Jesus. As we continue on to discuss this better covenant based off of better promises, I remember in Galatians, the third chapter, if we turn there really quickly, and in Galatians, the third chapter, The Bible would speak on this wise. In verse number 15, it says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and into thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." In other words, what Paul here is saying that is that that covenant made, those promises made to Abraham, could not be made of none effect just because the law was entered in. Just as if a man on his deathbed would make a will, just as if a man would have a will, and after he dies, that will would go into effect. No man can disannul. How much more so is the word of God? If God would promise a thing, will he be able to deliver? Herein we behold the point that Paul's making. In verse number 18, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then served the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by hand or by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. He would ask, "Is then the law against the promises of God?" Well, the answer is, "God forbid. For if there had been a law which, given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." We ought to have our belief in Christ Jesus. We ought to be resolved to want to understand that the covenants of the enemies or our enemies being destroyed, as the Bible would explain in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that that last enemy that needs to be destroyed is death. We understand that we can overcome death. Also understanding that we can be blessed in Christ Jesus. All the way back because of that covenant given to Abraham. But as we continue on, now focusing on the promises, we see that later in the book of Hebrews, these very promises are extrapolated in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, speaking a little bit about it this morning, we remember that there was a promise to come. We'll start with Abraham and Abraham in Hebrews, the 11th chapter at verse 8, where the Bible would say, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah received her strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, but him as good as dead, so many of the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises," is what verse 13 says, "but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." These individuals, understanding the covenants and promises of God, would continue to live in faith that what God had promised would surely come to pass. These individuals died in that faith, died understanding that Christ Jesus was going to come. As we see here, in verse number 13, they embrace these very things. They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I submit to you, if we have the same mindset, knowing that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, we will not be so resolved to just want better according to the course of this world. A better job, a better house, a better situation for our family. Yes, we may want these things, but the greatest thing that we can want is for our families to be established in Christ Jesus. Why? Because being established in Christ Jesus means that the promises will be better. It won't be a promise of a wage increase. It won't be a promise of more square footage. It won't be a promise of a bigger backyard, but rather it will be a promise of a heavenly abode. That's what we studied this morning. But if we continue on in verse 14 pertaining to these promises, we'll continue to read as Hebrews, the 11th chapter, would speak a little bit more about this. In verse 14, the Bible would say, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned." In other words, making reference to Abraham, how he once abode in a place, saying that his children would be able to inherit that land many years after. If they were mindful of this, they would have been familiar. But in verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." We're familiar with the latter part of Galatians 3. If we are a seed of Abraham, if we are by faith of Abraham, if we be of the lineage of Abraham, we should belong to Christ, because Christ was that seed that was called. Christ was that seed that was promised. And because of that, we certainly understand those promises will come into play. Finishing up, I remember what the Bible would say in Ephesians, the second chapter. In Ephesians, the second chapter, as Paul is encouraging those saints, as we are tonight discussing the covenants and the promises coming from Hebrews, the 8th chapter at verse number 6. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, you remember what Paul would be saying to this Gentile congregation. To this Gentile congregation, he's explaining our new status in Christ Jesus. But you remember, in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, many of you are familiar with verse number 10, where the Bible says, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh by hand, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. As verse 14 says, he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Look at the beauty of this. The middle wall of partition in between Jew and Gentile, the thing that would separate those two, has now been torn down. We are now one in Christ Jesus, is what the Bible says in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, at verse number 29. The beauty of this is clear here in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, as the Gentiles in verse 12 were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from those covenants of promise. What covenants? Well, we saw that there was the covenants given to Abraham in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, at verse 17 and 18. "In thy seed, all family of the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will destroy your enemies," is also what God says there. Imagine that. Imagine having the confidence in this world that no enemy can withstand us, that we'll be blessed in our endeavors. It's a beautiful understanding. But if those covenants given to Abraham were great and were important and were given from God, how much more so are the covenants given through Christ Jesus? Remember, being in Christ means we're in a covenant that's based off of better promises. Titus, the 1st chapter, verse number 2 says, it's the promise of eternal life. God had this in mind for us before the world began. Before the foundations of the world were laid, God had an election. God had an election of individuals that were going to be called according to his glorious purpose. We'll spend a little bit of time in 2 Peter, where the Bible speaks about this. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, making reference to these very promises. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, where the Bible would say, whereby, in verse number 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's corruption in the world through our lust. James, the first chapter, would speak about this. When every man is enticed, he's drawn away from his own lust. When lust, after that temptation has come, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. We can overcome the world and its corruption and its lust. Being in Christ Jesus, having these precious promises, we lay hold on to eternal life. Having this understanding, we'll conclude in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, once more. Going right back to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, finishing out this understanding. In verse number 6, it says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, Hebrews 8 and 6, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Life is better in Christ. That is the point of today. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In other words, because the Jews didn't seek it by faith. In other words, because the Jews weren't following, as Leviticus, the 18th chapter, verse number 5 would say, they weren't keeping up with the law, a new covenant had to come. Nevertheless, it says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand out of the land, or led them out of the land of Egypt. Excuse me. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every brother, or every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he says, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. That first covenant given to that man Moses, then given to the children of Israel, has waxen old and vanished away. And it was waxen old and vanished away, as the Bible says in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, in verse number 14, it was taken out of the way, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which were against us and contrary to us, taking those things out of the way and nailing them to the cross. As Christ was nailed to the cross, the old covenant was done away, and a new covenant was established when he resurrected from the dead. He was hanging on that cross, bleeding there. He was buried in a borrowed tomb after 6 long hours of expiring, of trying to breathe, of shedding his blood, placed in a borrowed tomb, and on the 3rd day, according to the scriptures, he arose from the grave to fulfill the promises that in thy seed all families of the earth will be blessed. That seed not being seeds as of many, but that seed being that seed which is Christ Jesus. Why are things better in Christ? Well, because we have a better covenant, better than the covenant of all families being blessed, better than the covenant of all of our enemies being able to overcome them. But it's better in Christ Jesus because it far surpasses even this life on this earth, but it goes into eternality because our souls can be resting in heaven one day, praising God for all of eternity, if we just continue to be faithful until the end. We ought to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that he left his heavenly estate. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, at verse number 9, says that though he were rich, yet our forsakes, he became poor. He became poor by leaving his heavenly estate. We talked about his name being much better than the angels this morning in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, at verse number 4. His name being much better than the angels. But he was made a little lower than the angels, because in being made a little lower than the angels, he had to taste death for every man. In tasting death for every man, that declared him to be the Son of God. As the centurion soldier saw all the things that were transpiring while he was on that cross, the rocks rent, the graves were open, the veil of the temple rent in twain, all of these marvelous things, the sun going black midday for about 3 hours, All that man that could do was conclude that surely this was a righteous man. Surely this man was the Son of God. That's the same conclusion we must conclude when we read the scriptures, when we study what God has done for us, when we study his promises and how he's preserved his people over time. All we have to do is acknowledge Christ Jesus, acknowledge him and believe on him. We believe on him, according to Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and following, and we trust on him after we've heard him. We hear that glorious gospel of his Son, believe it with all of our hearts. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and, not or, but and is baptized shall be saved. We hear the gospel, we believe it, and because of that, because of what he's done for us, how he died for our sins, we say no to sin any longer. We repent of those sins. We come confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 32 and 33 will declare that. He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Things are better in Christ Jesus because of the wonderful glory to be had in heaven's eternal glory. That's the promise. It's not some land promise. It's not some earthly realm promise. It's a heavenly realm promise. Nevertheless, once we understand those things, we are baptized into Christ. We're baptized into his one body, and we are baptized into his church. Once we're baptized into his body, we're added, according to Acts, the second chapter, at verse number 47, and it is the church of Christ. Let us continue to be steadfast. Let us continue to encourage one another. Let's continue to encourage our family and friends and ensure to them that its life is far better in Christ Jesus. Better covenants based off of better promises. That is the message. Let us together come and stand and sing a song of the Savior's invitation.